Star and Shadow Radio. Star and Shadow Radio. Oh, well, it's a good job nobody's listening yet. Because, of course, I messed up that transition. I don't know if I'll ever be a better broadcaster than this. This is the best I can do. This is the last episode of the series of We Can't Promise Anything, Advice with Marion and Gilly. That's me. I think we'll just crack on. Yep, let's go. Oh, we're recording, Marion. We're recording.
Excellent.
So just listen to jingle three. And in my head, that is the correct jingle. Like when I imagine the jingle, that's the one that it is.
Well, unfortunately, Gilly, I couldn't hear the jingle. But yeah. I did think that was a particularly good dance you did to it. So it must have been a fabulous jingle.
Oh, thanks. I really did try and communicate the essence of the jingle through...
Well,
through movement.
What you communicated was fabulousness. And
I mean, I do have extra advanced skills because of all my dance experience.
Oh, well, I think you really showcased them, all of your skills, in that one little clip.
Oh, well, it's a shame it doesn't communicate well on radio, doesn't it?
I know it is, but use your imagination, listener, dear.
Yeah, so, yeah, you can always go back to the beginning of the show, listen to the jingle and imagine me dancing it, if you must. Marion, we're on our last show of the series.
Gilly, unbelievable.
Episode 7.
Which is 14 weeks.
14 weeks.
Unbelievable.
More than 3 months we've been doing this.
Honestly, I can't believe it.
We're practically radio pros now.
So, have you enjoyed it, Gilly?
Oh, very much. Very much. I like thinking about people's problems. I like our little date to talk about everything. What I like less is having to, like, press upon all my friends for their issues.
Yeah.
That's less fun. Have you enjoyed it, Mariansky?
I have. I think both of us have had to do quite a lot of canvassing, but all the problems, but all of the problems that we've had have been genuine and given in. I've really enjoyed thinking about them. I think the most that I've learned about this whole experience is, I think I've learned a lot about me and how terrified I was at beginning to do this.
Are you less terrified?
I am. Also, the terror of listening to my voice in broadcast time is horrific. I never knew I sounded like I sound. And I'm not really quite sure if I would like me in real life if I met me, but I don't have that.
Marion, that's awful. Of course you'd like you in real life.
Well, you know, well, whatever, Gilly.
Well, about your voice, we've had some feedback from my dear friend Paul Burns, and he said, I find you both very soothing. You, because I know you and you're my pal. Marion, she just sounds so kind and she gives you room to speak and admits when she might have got something wrong and has a nice voice. It's my ideal content.
Paul Burns, thank you. Don't know you, but thank you for your lovely feedback. And I'm sure if I did know you, I would like you a lot.
Oh, yeah. Paul Burns is just great. Just great.
Yeah. Yeah.
The best.
Yes. So thank you.
You've got some feedback for us as well, haven't you?
Yes, I do, actually. I have feedback from Our last show, we had a few problems. We had one problem from a grandma about, she thought her grandson was getting, was putting on a lot of weight in lockdown and wasn't really being active. And she was really concerned. She was concerned about how much food our daughter-in-law was allowing him to eat and how many rubbishy, in her view, snacks he was eating. So she's been back in touch and she said, thank you for talking about my problem. It was good for me to hear your opinions and it helped me to see my daughter-in-law in a less critical light. I've stopped making any weight comments and I'm trying hard not to think of any either, which is very good, but I'm sure it changed. Instead, I offer my son food choices when he asks for a snack when he's at my house, and I have noticed he watches what my other grandchildren choose. I don't want to get trapped in the role of policing my family's parenting skill and thinking I know best. And thank you for reminding me that that isn't my job.
Oh, that's lovely.
Well, I think it's very lovely, actually. And thank you very much for sending that feedback in.
Yeah, I really appreciate hearing about it.
And I think really what you've just shown is it's just quite interesting to hear other people's opinions, particularly unemotionally attached third party opinions. I think sometimes it's easier to listen to someone you're not emotionally attached to.
Yeah, because otherwise you can get quite stuck in the fervour of it all, can't you?
Yes, you can.
Definitely wind myself up with my own inner monologue.
Because there's too many other agendas going on. So, but again, you know, as we've said throughout, Gilly, there's nothing professional about
us. Oh, no.
Our opinions are just based on life experience. We're not making any promises, but we're very interested in life, people, the universe and everything. Anyway, I'll move on. I've got some more feedback.
Oh, great.
Do you remember we had a problem from Alice last time who had been, she'd received a save the date card from a friend, but then not a wedding invitation. So I haven't actually got feedback from Alice, but someone else has actually been in touch with me. And they have said, I thought I was the only person who'd been given a save the date card and then not given a wedding invitation. I can put that worrying niggle to rest now. All I needed was to be reminded that it's not me, it's more down to the poor manners of the couple. Move on and wish them well. Again, very nice.
We're just helping so many people, Marianne.
Do you know, I think we're the solution to every world problem.
That's just correct.
Be lovely to each other, that kind of thoughts.
Well, maybe, you know, also, you know, let's bring down capitalism and so on.
Well, but, I think we would save that little surprise for when we actually got the power.
Oh, right. Is that how that's how you think we're going to storm the government or whatever?
Correct.
Like, being very well-mannered. I do have another email from someone, which I think is very funny. It's not feedback, but it's from Captain Hester Susan. There is no subject in the subject line. And it just says, hi, in capital letters. So that's come in to the wecan'tpromiseanything@gmail.com email address. If you want to email us, you can email us to that address, wecan'tpromiseanything@gmail.com.
Yeah.
If you've got problems, then it might take us a while to answer them because we're going to have a little break. But you can still send them. There might be, you know, there might be problems that for you are perennial. So you might want to get our view in a few weeks' time, a few months' time. Or you can just like email us to say hi. If you want to be a guest agony aunt on the show at some point.
Yeah.
I did really like having Greg. I'd say that was a highlight.
Well, I think for series 2, Gilly, we might look at slightly different format with more guest appearance.
A roster. I think that would be really good.
Me too. And maybe one or two other. Yeah, and maybe one or two other little surprises.
Oh yeah.
Ooh. I know we
have got any special requests. If there's anything you think we should be doing on We Can't Promise Anything, then let us know. We're all ears.
From now till then, dear listeners, we can enjoy the anticipation of what's to come.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Wow, we're just developing such drama.
I know.
Can we get on with the problems?
Yes, I think we will, Ginny.
Right, yes. I'm gonna go with the first one, if that's all right.
Right. Yes,
this person says they're a she/her person, and she says, I have started dating a guy I met over lockdown through a dating app. He's very intriguing, attractive, and funny. Ooh, good job. We have been having a great 3-4 months so far and spending more and more time together. However, when the subject of COVID has come up, it has become apparent that he is heavily into conspiracy theories and theorists and does not believe in coronavirus. I believe it is important to read around issues and not believe everything we are told straight away. However, this does not apply to this tragic virus that is very much real. He believes it is made up by the government and will not back down on this theory. My concern is whether this should be viewed as a red flag and or how I should address or approach this issue with him. Thanks. What do you think, Marion?
Well, goodness me. I like the writer's what she said about she doesn't believe everything we're told straight away. I think it's very helpful to be thoughtful and consider what it is you're presented with in media or wherever. However, I think you can get over cautious and start disbelieving everything and questioning everything too much. And maybe that's where this date is. Maybe he's questioning too much, do you think? Do I think she should view it as a red flag? I do, actually. I think she should view it as an ocean of red flags, maybe. I would. It's quite a big thing. However, that's only one fact standalone. What does he think of her views? Does he say, well, you know, you're entitled to your opinion and this is my opinion? Or does he say, well, no, this is my opinion and there is only my opinion? So it's not such a cut and dry answer. It's more, how does this fit into the whole context of your conversations? But also you're just getting to know each other. So it might be a deal breaker or it might not be a deal breaker. Depends.
Yeah, I think there's sort of two separate issues in a way that you've pull out. One is that, is he respectful of your view? Is he really dogmatic? And because that's a red flag. That's over, you know.
Yeah.
If that's the case, I think it'd be better to cut it off now than get more involved. And the second thing is more to do with like his worldview as a whole and how he applies his critical faculties to the world. So there's one thing that says, because the writer does say that this person is really into conspiracy theories and theorists. And I think it's worth being very critical of all material that is put before us in the mainstream media, on social media, whatever, amongst friends. How are you constructing that critical faculty and how are you applying it? Like, are you thinking about who made this, why they might make it, if it's a video, if it's an article that someone's written, what are the sources behind it? The problem with some of these conspiracy theories and theorists is that essentially they participate in a logic of knowledge that is self-fulfilling, because they apply the criticality and then they say, even if I'm looking at an article, I might look at what their reference or who the person is who's written it and what other things they've written. But if this person's into that sort of conspiracy theory world, they wouldn't even trust that process of checking, because then they'd say, oh, well, even those checks are like
just what the government wants us to do or what mainstream thinking wants us to do. So then there's like a criticality with a massive gap, which is just about like a huge leap of faith, which then they resolve as being critical of the government or whatever.
Yeah. Well, it's a criticality based on a closed world. You know, how open are they to lots of different opinions? And if they've got that closed, if he's got that closed outlook, that could extend, that in itself could be a deal breaker, but also that could extend to lots of different aspects of how he lives. I agree with you, Gilly, actually. If you're that into conspiracy theory, you can get trapped in the world where you all support each other in your conspiracies.
Yeah. Right. And also, I mean, it's not always the case, but sometimes these conspiracy theory worlds are associated with like really dreadful misogyny, really dreadful homophobia. Like some of the people who purport these claims are also, you know, really incredibly fascist and right wing. And I think it's probably worth this listener gently and carefully exploring some of the edges of this, where, you know, maybe explore whether you have the same political views. I talk with friends, like for me, it's very important that the people with whom I spend time share at least a baseline worldview. But I talk to friends and they don't talk to people a day about their politics or, you know, their views on family structures or on human rights. I do, because of who I am. And maybe that's why I have terrible, terrible failure. But
I think so, Kelly. For the writer, I think what we should say is don't get too obsessive about it. Just take it as, this is part of just getting to know each other. Just keep exploring each other's views. And if a point comes where you say, you know, your views don't actually map on to my views, we don't have to be the same, but I think we're too far apart, then you just call a halt to it, it's fine.
I do think the coronavirus thing might be more of a like pressing issue because it means you're making different decisions about biosecurity. Yeah. If he feels that the coronavirus isn't a thing, he's going to behave as if there is no coronavirus. And at some point, he's going to catch that disease, isn't he? So, and if you're in a kind of intimate contact with him, that means that he might be bringing that disease to you. And I think there's the ethical implications of that and the health implications of that. And you need to decide whether that's okay for you or not. And if it's not okay for you, then I really do think you need to part. Because if he's, for example, going to shops without a mask or like going to social spaces without consideration or not washing his hands or any of like the basic biosecurity measures we need to do, then he's putting you at risk. And if that's what you believe, because of his fundamental beliefs that coronavirus is a kind of a state apparatus for control. A fictionalized state apparatus for control.
I think that's a very good point to make. I think the wording of the email and the very nature of the question already indicates that the writer has concerns.
Yeah, maybe they're really writing to us because they need a push. And I think maybe I'm not going to be the one to push you. I can't tell you what to do. But what I can say is, I think you should explore these things as a matter of priority.
And I think what we're saying is that we perfectly understand and agree with your concerns.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Your concerns are completely valid and do need to be addressed one way or another.
Right. Right. Yeah. So, dear writer, I hope that's of assistance and I hope it helps validate your thoughts and it helps you to come to some decision. And let us know, because even though we're off air, we're still around.
Yeah. It's like when school children think like the teachers live in a cupboard or don't exist at the end of school. even amateur agony aunts exist beyond the
our
every other week.
Yes, and we're just focusing on our own problems and issues, aren't we, Gillian?
Oh, yes, and they do need some attention, so.
Yes.
Well, that could be a whole show by itself.
Correct.
I think we should move on to the next problem, if that's all right with you, Marion.
Me too. Well, this one's
really...
Dear Gilly and Marion, I have a terrible dilemma that I don't want to discuss with anyone I know. I'm very friendly with a married couple who live near me. The husband has a job which often takes him away from home, and that is the case at the moment. The thing is, I had an appointment in town, and on my way home, I decided to call into a different supermarket to the one I normally shop at. I was horrified to see the husband shopping with a woman, not my friend. I'm really upset that I didn't speak to him. That would have been the right thing to do, but I was so shocked I just left the shop and went home. My dilemma is, should I tell his wife my friend? I know there's no right answer to this, but I think hearing your opinions might help me decide what to do. Help. Oh dear.
Oh, it's very difficult.
What a dilemma. And you know, I so understand that you would leave, that you would be so horrified you would leave the shop and then wish you hadn't. When
I mean, I'm also trying to take it, I'm trying to like read it and really take it on face value. So I'm really like, just really, what is the information? There's a man who is married to a woman who was shopping with mm-hmm. another woman, right? So first of all, as my favorite advice giver, Dan Savage, always says, like, some people are socially monogamous. So amongst their friend group, they're perceived to be monogamous, but actually the reality of their relationship is that they're not monogamous. But because it's unacceptable socially to be non-monogamous in a lot of circles, they pretend to be monogamous. And that means that you can get caught. But so the friend, the wife, she might know all about this and might not be bothered. She might be like, oh, well, yeah, that's just a woman he sees. I see some other people as well. So that could be one thing. I can just sort of park that in one place. And then I think, why burden, if it is an affair, why, it might just be a friend, why burden the wife with that information unnecessarily? Why place that burden upon yourself? I think the best thing to do is to contact the husband and say, I saw you shopping with a woman, what's going on? I'm really concerned about my friend, your wife. I don't want to meddle in your business, but I do. I would like to protect my friend. Is everything okay? Can I help with anything?
I couldn't agree with you more, Gilly. I agree. I think absolutely the right course to take is to speak to the husband, right? And what I would say, I would be really honest and say, I saw you shopping with another woman in the supermarket. I would just say, and I was so shocked I left because I thought you were working in da-da-da-da-da. So I'm upset. So I'm ringing so you could maybe give me an explanation so I won't be so upset anymore. If the husband can't give you an explanation, or if you think he is actually having an affair and deceiving the wife, then I think the tack is to say to him, I would like you to tell your wife.
Yeah.
And maybe put a time limit on it.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking, how would I feel if this was me and it was my husband that my friend had seen shopping with another woman when I thought it. Just say it's completely face value like that. Would I want to know? Actually, I would want to know because I would say, you know, he's making his choices, but based on a lie to me. So I think it's there's an honesty, so we can all make choices based on facts.
Yeah.
If they do an arrangement in their marriage where working away is a euphemism for off on a little jaunt, right, then that too is fine. But I would, if I was the neighbour who'd seen them shopping, I wouldn't really want to get embroiled in the dynamics of their marriage because it would really be none of my business.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I would hate to see my friend's heart be broken.
Oh, definitely.
By a husband who is deceiving her. So it's a tricky one.
The other thing to do is to definitely, you know, because friendships can mean very different things, but maybe with the wife, just be around. Just make sure you're like available to her.
Correct.
And let, you know, in a kind of low-key way, let her know that like you're friends and you care about her and you're ready to support her, whatever she needs. Maybe don't do a sit down, like chat about that if she doesn't know her husband's maybe with someone else, because that might be unnecessarily alarming. But you could definitely, you know, offer some space to her in your life.
I think on the writer's part, it demands great caution and tact,
yeah,
and emotional empathy and awareness and everything. But unfortunately, writer, you went to that supermarket and you saw the husband, and you know, I think it's very good that you've got in touch with us without making it into a gossipy topic,
yeah,
with people around. That you must be a very, very nice person,
yeah,
to not want to air it even with close people around you. And it's very good that you want to listen to different takes on the subject,
because it sounds like a sort of juicy thing from a BBC drama. It sounds like Dr. Foster or something, but actually it's someone's life. And
unfortunately, by the sheer act, random act of popping into a different shop, you've now become entangled in, actually, you've got the power to potentially destroy someone's current life, possibly for the better or possibly for the worse. But yeah, you don't know that. So I think you're absolutely right to be super, super, super cautious and not jump in and do anything. But also, I understand that you can't quite rest until you've reconciled what's happened in your own mind and that you've taken action that you feel is correct. So I think we're both in agreement here, Billy, that the correct starting point is the husband.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm really curious and hopeful that this works itself out. If not happily, then with care. I would be interested to know what happens next, if that's appropriate. I really hope everyone in the situation is ultimately well. It sounds very tricky.
And painful.
Oh yeah.
Right. Even for our writer is experiencing pain.
Oh yeah. I wouldn't want to be in that position.
No, neither would I. But you know, life sometimes chucks surprises at you, not all of those surprises you really want to have. But yeah, also the other thing is, you know, what couples, anybody present to the world as their life isn't necessarily their life as it is in private. So that's why you have to be super, super cautious and not jump to too many conclusions. So I think all we can say to the writer is, well, we hope this helps a little bit, and that, you know, we're very sympathetic to your situation, but we'll completely understand that you feel you've got to do something that the husband has got to take. And please do let us know how it goes and get in touch.
Yeah, do get in touch. I think we should move on to the next thing, which is also about a partnership. So this is three in a row.
Correct.
I'll go for it. So this person says, help! I think my partner is turning into a hoarder. He's hanging on to stuff he thinks we might need in the future. Now our loft and garage are crammed with perfectly good toys, books, furniture, clothes that we no longer use, but he thinks we might at some point in the future. I'm starting to feel overwhelmed. Can you suggest anything that might make my life easier? Chuck him out!
No. I mean, do you know, Gilly, we're laughing, but I'm only laughing because I know lots of people in this situation. It's not an uncommon situation.
Chuck him and all his crap out.
Yeah.
No, don't really do that.
No.
I mean, it reminds me a bit of, do you remember probably in like episode 2 or something, there was a person who wrote in and said, I've got so many clothes, I just realised I've got so many clothes.
Correct.
And I think maybe, this is obviously a one step remove, but I think one thing is to maybe have a conversation about how someone else might make more use of this now, might enjoy it more now, and maybe it's worth giving away. You could even do like, you could do a little sale and give the money to charity or something, if you're really feeling like you could do that. Or...
Well, funnily enough, I think selling stuff is a really good, it's a really good thing to do, because then somebody can make use of something that you're not using.
Yeah.
While it's in the loft, it's of no use or value to anyone. Right.
And then maybe what you could do if you weren't in a position to give the money to charity, but maybe the persuasion is, right, we're going to sell all of this stuff. If you've not used it within a year, even, sometimes you need a cycle of a year. Is there anything you've not used for a year? Right, we're going to try and sell it. With all of that money, we're going to put it in a special pot that if any of the things that we've sold turns out to be just the thing we needed, then you've got the money to pay for it out of that pot.
And a pot with money in takes far less room than a garage or a loft full of turd.
I mean, especially since, you know, money is normally just like numbers in your bank account and not an actual
yes,
pot.
I know, but you know what I mean.
I know what you mean.
But also, Gilly, do you not think sometimes, you know, if you have clothes or an item or something that you attach really lovely memories to, sometimes it's hard to get that rid of that item because you're attaching some sort of emotion to it, when really that item is just, it's just a thing. The emotion is a personal thing. So I kind of understand how sometimes somebody might not want to get rid of things, especially things like, you know, their kids' toys from when they were little, or, you know, their child's cot, because it reminds them of when they were babies and it was all so lovely, and they need that physical reminder of a lovely time of their life, and therefore they keep the items. So I think it's not quite as black and white as, well, you should just sell them, because if they could sell them, maybe they would have sold them.
It's true. Here are two possible solutions. So one I've seen before is you take photographs of the precious objects and you make a book of all the photographs, so then you remember the items and you can know what they were and why they're important, and obviously this takes a bit of labor, takes a bit of energy, but might also be a very enjoyable thing to do. And so then you still have the like reminder of the thing, and or you decide together an acceptable volume of stuff. And you choose maybe one of these pieces of furniture and you're like, okay, we can keep as much stuff as goes in here. And that's the memory box. And when the memory box is full, we've got to get rid of stuff. So if there's something else you want to keep, then we've got to get rid of something in the memory box. So there's a limit. It's not black and white. So you can, but it sounds like this stuff isn't just memory stuff. This is also just like hoarding, you know.
You don't, but I really think hoarding and memory stuff can get entangled. It can kind of amount to the same thing.
Well, then I'd suggest that's wires crossed, though. Yeah. Because, you know, I don't know, my mum died and my dad moved away, so we sold the family home, and that meant we had to get rid of loads and loads and loads and loads and loads and loads, mm-hmm. of stuff. in very difficult circumstances. So one thing I might suggest is there's a tiny bit of like, you know, looking after your future self by going, your future self and your future cared fors, the people you care about, your loved ones, by going, right, I'm not going to keep all of this stuff because at some point I am going to die and someone is going to have to sort through my stash, and that's not fair because it's not an easy thing to do.
I think that's a very healthy thing to say. I do.
And it's not fair to do that to someone else. It's very difficult. In a way, how dare you do it? How dare you?
And do you know, Gilly, and another thing is, if you have things like a garage, a loft, absolutely chocker with stuff, you actually forget what's there. So what you're doing is you're storing something which you feel emotionally attached to, but you forget what it is. So you're kind of making the loft into the little storage part of your brain, sort of, so that you can open that door in your brain should you ever get round to pulling that stuff out. But that day never comes.
Yeah. But I also think, like, if you've really got so much room in your house, maybe it's worth thinking about whether you really need to use all of that house.
Correct.
It might be time to, like, consider if we didn't have... this could be a very positive thing. If we didn't live in this massive house where we stored all our stuff, what could we do with our lives that would be different? I mean, I know this is like, you know, extrapolating the problem, but I do think these things are related, things to do with like value, experience, memory, future, past. Like, it does play into a lot of stuff.
Yes, it does. And I love the idea of having a book with photos in. I love that idea.
Because then you get started on yours, Marion.
I started on mine a while ago, still a work in progress, but further down the road than I was like a couple of years ago. It's actually very liberating to start and get rid of tut, actually.
I love getting rid of stuff.
There's something very cathartic about being able to see what you've got.
Yeah. I live in a two-bedroom flat, and one of the bedrooms I don't use, someone else uses it, and all of my possessions in the whole world are in this flat. I don't have a studio, I don't work anywhere else but here, yeah. I don't have anything at a parental home. This is where all my stuff is. And there's something, obviously, if it like set on fire I'd be devastated, but there's something for me very clarifying about that.
And do you not think there's something very liberating about not being governed or ruled by possessions?
Yeah, I do. There's very little, when someone says, what would you save in a fire? What would be the one thing? I'm like, you know, there's nothing, there's no single object that I think my life would be ruined if I didn't have that one object. There's no Correct. Such thing. And I don't know, I do feel quite good about that, really.
Well, I think it's a very good thing, actually. So this is a good conversation for us to have, just to be reminded that material things are exactly that, just material things. They don't have an emotional value.
Yeah, right. I agree. I'd probably try and save some of the plants. I'm looking around now. Probably try and save some of the plants. But hopefully that won't happen.
But if you couldn't, Gilly, you've given me lots of plants, so I could give you curtains off them.
That's
so
true, we could just pass them back and forth.
Don't despair, don't go dashing back into those flames. Right, put yourself at risk. So can we suggest anything that might make the writer's life easier?
Well, I think we've got, this writer is going to have a conversation with the partner.
Correct.
But maybe we've provided some tools, some options that you could discuss with your partner, like, a box, a book, selling, giving away, talking about how someone else would enjoy it much more, talking about how much freer you'd feel with less stuff, talking about how your loved ones might have to deal with all your rubbish if something happened to you. Don't you want to give them a clean slate? So I think we've given you like a handful of things that you could use in your discussion. And I'd be really interested to know if any of them work.
Correct. Yeah. Absolutely.
I quite enjoyed thinking about that.
Me too. I've thinking about it so much, it's made me really thirsty.
Oh, are you really thirsty, Marion? Shall we have a little cup of tea then, a little break?
Yes, I would quite like to just pop off and put the kettle on.
All right, see you in a minute then.
Okay, thanks, Gilly.
Oh, we're back, Marion. It's recording.
Yes, welcome back, everybody. I think I feel like I'm revived. I've had a lovely cup of tea.
I've done some stretching and folding on my sourdough.
Oh, do you know, you are marvellous, Gilly. You really are.
I just like bread. great making sourdough. I love it. I can't believe I've become one of those people. Shall we crack on with the remaining two problems, the last two problems of the series?
Oh, do you know, I'm feeling I'm getting a little bit emotional. But yes, we will. We'll just crack on.
Right, you read it out. I'm going to have a drink.
Okay. My husband and I are in the enviable position of being able to retire in the next couple of years. However, we have very different ideas on how that time should be spent. We are both fond of adventure, but my husband is suggesting that we travel from the northeast of England to the Med in a very tiny sailing boat, which doesn't even have a cabin. This scares the shit out of me. Sometimes I think he's joking, but he spends hours researching it and excitedly showing me vlogs of others who've done similar. I do like sailing, but I had hoped that we would do it in a bigger boat for a few months each year and spend the rest of the time visiting my adult children. I'm aware that this seems like the ultimate privileged middle-class problem, but I think that the real issue here is that we have very different dreams for the next chapter of our lives. I should add that we do love each other very much, and life has so far been a blast. So maybe I should trust him in this new challenge. Or should I?
Well, Marion, you saying this scares the shit out of me is the highlight of the series.
Well, do you know, it was a little bit of a struggle, Gilly, but I felt like, you know, I had to stick to the reality of what the writer had written to convey promotion of their problem.
Right. So, what do you think then? What do you think?
Well, I think the writer says that she thinks they've got different ideas, different dreams. I don't think they have. I think the dreams are really quite similar. There's just variation, a little bit of variation. I also think they're in the enviable position of being able to retire in the next couple of years. So it's not that they're going to retire next week and this is what the husband actually has planned. This is him, I think, in like indulging his dream in the most extreme form, right. And this is what we could do. And say, because do you know when you're coming up to retirement, I think you need something to hold on to get through the final bit of your working life, and maybe it's an extreme version of your dreams, because there's obviously nothing wrong with the relationship between the two. They're really happy. Mm. I think it's just maybe they're both coping with a retirement being on the horizon in a little bit of a different way. And the husband's more boosting his adrenaline to see himself through. Or not, I don't know.
That's a very interesting view.
Do you think so?
Yeah, no, I think I wouldn't have seen it like that, and I'm pleased that's how you describe it. I mean, one thing that I noticed is that she, and it's a she, oh, she's got a name, Kathleen. So what Kathleen says is she says that she had hoped that they would spend some time visiting her adult children, who are not his adult children, and perhaps he doesn't have children. So maybe he doesn't feel that same, I mean, not at all that I think people with children are the only people who can be connected to a place or to a community, not at all. I don't have children. I feel very connected to a place and to a community. But perhaps he can't quite put himself in her shoes, where like perhaps retirement might mean a reprioritization away from work and towards family as well as adventure. But for him, it's just like, right, all the shackles are off. I can just do whatever I want now. I also wonder like whether there's a process by which you can go, well, that sounds like a really great thing to work towards, but how about we build up our sailing chops bit by bit? I mean, you say you already like sailing, so it sounds like you've already got experience, but you could start off with like a bigger boat, a few months, your version. And then if it really is like, wow, we really love this life, it's a bit like training for a run. You wouldn't immediately do an ultra marathon. You might work towards 5K and go, do I still like this? Is this still good for my body? Is it still good for my mind? Is it still good for my heart? I mean, you know, metaphorical heart as well as biological heart. Is it the thing that I want to do, or is it taking me away from things that I want to do? Like, is there a way for it not to be either or, but work towards something?
Yes, I agree with Giddy, everything you've said. And I too noticed my children as opposed to our children. So maybe if they're the wife's, Kathleen's children, she feels that desire. I'm not suggesting for a moment that the husband doesn't care, that the partner doesn't care. I'm just saying it might be slightly different dynamics.
Yeah.
But the other thing I was going to say is, even if the husband wanted to live on a boat permanently, that doesn't prohibit Kathleen spending time with her grandchildren. You know, there
children,
would be nothing.
Not grandchildren.
There's nothing to stop her saying, well, actually, I'm going to go to wherever for 6 weeks, 2 months, and spend time with the kids.
Yeah, it does also depend on the dynamic in your relationship. Like my parents are from different continents, and quite big bits of their relationship were living apart. And I know that they didn't always find that easy, but for them it was preferable to do that at periods than to give up the other things they wanted out of their lives. And they really supported each other. And actually, my mum did, as I said before, but what they'd planned was that they'd each live in their separate countries, but just go back and forth and see each other a lot.
Yeah.
And actually, like I know other couples who do things like that, retired couples, and have very full lives as a result, because they get to like both spend loads of time together and really cherish that time, and also have some independence and sort of self-directed motivations.
Yes. And I think it's also very liberating to say we don't both have to do the same thing all of the time.
Yeah.
You can kind of deviate from that notion a little bit and go off and do whatever it is that you want to do. However, I do think they're not the reality. This is all theory at the minute, because it's the reality is still a couple of years down the line. I think it's great to talk about. I think it's fantastic that they're talking about what they want to do, kind of making plans, but the reality of those plans won't come to fruition until closer to the time.
Yeah.
And they might not be quite as extreme as that when the time comes. And, you know, sailing to the Med is a big ask. I've got friends who are sailors, and it's quite... I would think it would be quite a skilled thing to do.
Yeah, on a very tiny sailing boat, which doesn't even have a cabin. I mean, on a very personal level, that sounds absolutely appalling to me, and I don't know why you'd want to do it.
Well,
you know, to their own. different strokes and all that.
Yes.
But I think that you could definitely do it in a kind of incremental fashion. So not indulge your husband, but not totally cut him off either. And I guess, like, make one decision at a time. Like, you don't have to, like, jack in your whole life and go and live forever on it. You know, it's a bit like, sounds like it's a suggestion to the other direction of the hoarder couple. You know, you don't have to, you know, get rid of all your possessions and immediately occupy it. Only like a little rowboat, and equally you don't have to only live in a house and not have any adventure because you want to hold on to all your stuff. Maybe they should sort of talk to one another, those two couples,
and maybe they'd be of great assistance to each other.
If you'd like that, we can set that up. Just email we can't promise anything at gmail.com. We'd be happy to make the acquaintance.
Yeah. And finally, Gilly, I'll just say, you know, retirement is a very strong word with a lot of associations. Mm-hmm. So maybe the husband looking at blogs of people having all these adventures makes them feel like retirement isn't an end. It's more like a beginning with loads of energy and adventure still to come.
Oh, God, I can't wait to retire. I'm only 35. But I can't wait to retire. That's the dream. That's when you can do whatever you want. So I totally, well, to a degree, I totally sympathise with the husband's energies.
And you see, you've kind of answered that. I can't wait till retire. It's when you can do exactly what you want. Well, but the reality of what you want to do and what you're
valuable.
Able to... What's realistic to do might be different things when the time comes, but it's lovely to have that dream.
Yeah. Ooh, exciting.
Exciting. Very
maybe
exciting.
Maybe we'll be doing like series 20 and they'll write back in and say, oh, well, you know, in 2020, you said do this and this is what's happened.
Yes. And we've just dropped anchor in Mykonos. And we're having a fabulous time.
And we're really keen to fly you both here.
And we said, yes, because now we've graduated to quite a big yacht and you could have your own ensuite room.
Oh, yes. Mykonos is in Greece, isn't it?
Yeah. And just in case, Kathleen, you do that, the answer is yes, I'd be very happy to come.
Crack open the olives.
Just in advance. Yeah. Get the Red Sea out.
What's that?
It's this like horrible paint strip and wine that really seems to be popular.
Marion, we're getting into fantasy land now. I think we should move on.
See how dreams take over, Gilly.
Oh, it's just the thought of going on holiday, isn't it?
Yeah.
Can't go anywhere right now. We've got one more problem.
Yeah.
So it says, hey, Marion and Gilly, I often listen to your show on catch up. And I love how you always have loads of suggestions for problems. Can you help me get myself motivated? I've had some yoga DVDs for years and always promised myself I would watch and practice them when I have time. Well, I have time now in lockdown, but I just don't seem to be able to get around to playing the first DVD. Is there something wrong with me? No, of course there's not something wrong with you. I mean, I'm surprised anyone watches DVDs anymore. Who does DVDs?
Well, I think that's probably an indication of how long the first got this yoga notion.
Yeah. I have some thoughts. So I love moving my body, right? I love exercising. I love doing things with my body. This week I've hardly done anything at all because I've been very occupied with other sorts of things. Just go for a little walk yesterday. I did do a dance class on Wednesday, so I haven't been completely sedentary, but I have been behind my computer an awful lot. And I find that I have to connect to what I feel like doing in that moment. Like, I've done lots of different kinds of exercise regimes. Like, I've had gym memberships that I've been really into at different times. I've done a half marathon before. I'm actually signed up to do a yoga teacher training course. I haven't done any actual yoga for ages. But I've been on like yoga retreats. So I did a dance degree. So at different times, I've been very focused on moving my body in different ways. But often it gets quite punishing. Do you not find? Like if you say, oh, well, I must do that. I should do that. If it gets into a should place, then it's over. You know, you might be able to get yourself there a few times out of some kind of sense of discipline or shame, but it's going to be very difficult to keep yourself on that. And I think the unfortunate thing about a DVD is that it doesn't necessarily provide you with a lot of options. So you've got this yoga DVD and now this has become like an emblem of the possibility of becoming really flexible and strong or whatever it is, whatever else it is that you want to get out of yoga. Because yoga is actually like very good for all sorts of things. And there's lots of studies about it and different forms of yoga do different kinds of things. So my thinking is like, what is this yoga DVD an emblem for? Is it for like moving your body? Is it for feeling well? Is it for finding some time just for yourself? Is it something to do with like some kind of meditative quality that you want in your life? What is it about that? So maybe first you could like interrogate your actual needs. What is it that you want out of this? And then when you wake up in the morning, instead of going, oh, I should do that yoga DVD, you could ask yourself, how do I feel like moving my body today? Or how do I feel like being by myself today? Or how do I feel like meditating today? And make a decision based on that. So there's lots of yoga online, for instance. So it might be that it's easy for you to just click on a YouTube link that's only 20 minutes long, rather than a yoga DVD, which feels like impossible because it's going to be an hour and you don't feel like you've got the attention span for that or whatever it is. So a lot of people I know do yoga with Adrienne on YouTube, which is free, and she's a pretty good teacher, and there's some introductory things. Some of them are 10 minutes, some of them are up to an hour, and they have like different themes, so you could do what you felt like doing. When you get up in the morning, you think, actually, I just want to go for a walk, then just do that. The yoga DVD will still be there. There'll still be that emblem of whatever frightening thing you think it is, but maybe just walk away from it and do something else. That would be my view. What do you think, Marion?
I agree. Don't attach too much value to your yoga DVD, although I think it has become a symbol of your desire to do some sort of exercise, right? And I agree with you, Kelly, there's absolutely tons of stuff out there, and decide what you want to do, why you want to exercise and what it is you want out of it. So at the beginning, I've always done dance classes. I'm passion and I'm not consumed by dance like you are, Kelly. But there's lots of other ways to exercise other than dance. But I've gone to dance classes for years, and I quite like doing sort of keep fit classes and to music, and I've dabbled with lots of things over the years. But obviously in lockdown, you can't go to classes. So I too have been on YouTube, and I've found a website, a YouTube channel that I really like, and I really like what the lady does. And my motivation is, as you get older, you need to stay flexible, to stay fit, to be fit. Mm. And the more flexible you are, the fitter you're likely to be for longer, right? So that now that I'm over 35, that is my motivation to...
Over 35, is that just a little bit over?
Yeah, in a few decades. But it's fitness is my motivation. But I think also you've got to be a little bit harsh with yourself and say, I'm not going to say, oh, well, I'll do that when I have a minute. I think you've got to actually make a minute and push it to the top of your list and find out if you like it. While the DVD is a symbol on your shelf, make me feel guilty every time you pass it. You've got to actually deal with it and either find out if you like your yoga DVD or if you don't, and if you don't, put it in the charity bag and send it off to a charity shop to somebody who might like it. And instead, exactly, go walking, go on YouTube, see if you can find something. But maybe say, I'm going to do at least 5 minutes of something, even if it's stretching. I've never stretched before. I do stretching exercises every day now because I really, really like how I feel. Mm. I really like a bit. How can you? You have to actually push yourself in order to feel the benefits. Mm. But sometimes I've had to push myself, not you. I have had to push myself to feel the benefits. Now that I feel the benefits, I actually really like the benefits. So the benefits in themselves act as motivation.
Yeah, I can really feel the difference. Over the past few days, I messaged my friend yesterday saying, I've just been at my computer so much. I haven't done the normal amount of exercise that I normally do. And I do feel sort of weirdly unavailable to myself. You know, I feel weirdly like I'm not as buoyant in my body. I'm not as like, oh yeah, I'll just get up and do that. I can feel like I've got a problem with my ankles. They sprain them all the time. And I just feel like, oh, my calf muscles are really tight and my ankles are really stiff when I get up, in a way that if I'd been doing something every day this week, there wouldn't be. I wouldn't even think about them. So my life would just be that bit nicer. It would be that bit more enjoyable just to be me, because I've moved my body. And that doesn't take much. I know if I just did 10 minutes, and I know how hard it is to motivate yourself, but just 10 minutes of moving around, you know, I've had a lot of training. I can definitely figure out what I need to do. I could feel much better. So I do very much sympathize with you, dear yoga DVD owner. But I think this yoga DVD thing is a red herring. I think instead you should figure out what you actually want to do by trying and falling over and being embarrassed and feeling weird about telling whoever it is in your house that, oh, I'm just going to try and do some yoga now, or feeling weird about saying, like, once my housemate came, really wanted me to open a jar when I was in the middle of yoga, and it was very annoying. That's what it is to live with someone and try to do things that, you know, they might find odd. But why did I say that? I'm wittering on now. But I think moving your body can be totally enjoyable and can make the rest of your life more enjoyable. So whilst you focus on whatever you think it is you're focusing on, you'll never actually get to that point of enjoying that.
Yeah. And I think our writer obviously has an underlying desire to do something because you've got the DVD. So you've got an intention regardless of how deep it's buried in there. And, you know, nobody's a bigger queen of denial than me, right? Not just a river in Egypt, for sure. So it's, I can divert myself. I can clean window, do jobs that I would never do other than do something that really I say I intend to do, but I'm reluctant to start. So you've got to be honest with yourself and say, right, for 7 days, 5 days, 10 days, whatever, I'm actually going to be disciplined and I'm going to devote X minutes per day and I'm going to make sure I do them. And I'm going to find out what exercise I like. And I think it's amazing how I started to stretch. It's amazing how quickly I got to really like stretching.
Oh, I love stretching. When we get off this, I might do a little bit of stretching.
Yeah.
You feel great. I think that's a great way to finish the show, you know. The end of the series. What are you going to do when you finish your first ever radio series? Oh, I'm just going to do a bit of stretching.
What a lovely note to end on and feel fantastic for the rest of the day.
Yeah, and then I'm going to go on a big bike ride, another thing I like doing. I'm going to go to the seaside. I'll put my feet in the sea.
Even better.
What are you going to do?
Well, I'm going to pop down to the shops and buy some ice cream for some visitors who are coming later on today. So I'm in for a jolly little afternoon with some friends and their kids.
That sounds great. I forgot to say, yoga DVD friend, let us know what you do. Maybe by the time we start the second series, you'll be like, oh yeah, I love yoga. I've decided to become a yoga teacher.
Wouldn't that be fantastic? And wouldn't it be fantastic to start our next series with a little update of everyone?
Oh yes.
Written in.
Please, everyone, just email us. We can't promise anything at gmail.com. And yeah, it'd be lovely to start another series with like, hey, so.
Absolutely. And until then, I think all I can say is thank you so much, everybody who's listened and who's sent us problems. I've found it to be so useful for me. I hope someone out there's found us to be useful too or helpful.
Entertaining. And entertaining. And of course, there are many, many other shows on Star and Shadow Radio. So do have a listen. I'm actually starting a new show with my friend Hannah, which will be very different to this. It's about the physical action of rocking. So keep an eye out for that. Right now, this second, Ben is on the radio with Sunday Blessings as we're recording, because we record on a Sunday. There's so many other things. I've really enjoyed Carmel's This Land Is Our Land, which is all about food sovereignty. So many great shows.
And so many shows, yes, absolutely.
And if you've been enjoying it, so Star and Shadow is, of course, completely volunteer run. Nobody's paid to do this wonderful work together. But it does need cash just to keep going. So if you've been enjoying the show, why don't you pop in few quid into Star and Shadow's coffee, which you can see on the Star and Shadow website. If you can't find it, email we can't promise anything at gmail.com and I will send you a link. That would be marvellous.
Excellent. Yes, marvellous, Star and Shadow. Thank you, Star and Shadow. Thank you, everybody.
Who would have ever thought we would have a series of Agony Aunt Radio by us, Marion?
I would never have dreamt this in my whole entire life, Gilly, ever.
It's very exciting. Long may it continue. See you in the second series.
Absolutely. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
Star and Shadow Radio. Keep it locked.